Good morning. Today's Daf and Tanis is Daf Beis, meaning it's the beginning of the Masechta. Here we are now with another four Perek Masechta here in Seder Moed. There are going to be three of them in total. One of them we just completed, Rosh Hashanah. This one is Tanis, and the one upcoming is going to be Megillah. And then after that, there are two more Masechtas, and then we round out Seder Moed, and then we move on to the next Seder. This Masechta over here, so it's a little bit of a strange placement in terms of Shas, meaning, is this a Moed Masechta? So when you think about a Moed Masechta, so what do you think about? You think about things that are calendaric. So when you talk about the calendar, so you're talking about Shabbos, and Yantav, and Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. So certainly the Moadim are those things which are coming up on the calendar. So what is this Masechta about? So it's about rain. So the rain, the need for rain, the fact that if rain doesn't come, so we're going to really petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Incrementally, we're going to keep moving up until we're banging on the door for rain. And so that's basically what a Masechta is. So is it a Moed Masechta? So the answer, of course, is that yes, it's in Seder Moed. I'm just simply highlighting the fact that this is not exactly your classic Moed Masechta. We're not talking about a Yantav over here in this Masechta. So then it begs the question, so what is it doing in Seder Moed? So please hold, because the Gemara effectively is going to be asking that question, right? What is it doing here? What is it doing in Seder Moed? So the Gemara is going to be more or less asking that question in today's daf. So, but good, but just as a great introduction, I don't know about great, I take that back, but as an introduction, it forces us to think about what Tanis is doing over here in Seder Moed. What exactly is Moed about it? Be that as it may, so the four prakim that we're going to be doing, it's not particularly long Masechta. We're going to be covering this within a month's time, as far as Daf Yomi is concerned. So we're going to be going over the need for rain, when to petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rain, and what happens in the event that rain doesn't actually come down. Something that we've gone over numerous times, but now is a great time to mention it, and that is in our Eretz Yisrael. So there are two seasons. Season number one, it rains. Season number two, it doesn't rain. And basically, if you've been in Eretz Yisrael, so you know how this works. And so basically, it's divided between winter versus summer in the wintertime. But when I say winter, it starts in the fall. So in the fall, wintertime, so the expectation is rain. And not only just an expectation, but a need, right? A strong need for rain. Eretz Yisrael is predicated on the fact that it's a land that needs rain. And then when you get to the summertime, so no rain. So you'll go an entire summer in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so I spent, Baruch Hashem, spent a couple summers in Eretz Yisrael. So, and no rain, right? Just nothing. In other words, no precipitation. It's easy to be a weatherman at that time of the year. Okay, it's going to be hot and good, and it's not going to rain. So be that as it may, so there is clearly a rain season. And so once the rain season has begun, so now it's an excellent time to start petitioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rain, which brings us to the first Mishnah here in the Masechta, Mei Masai. So Mei Masai, Masdirin, Gevurot Geshamim. So at what point do we mention Gevurot Geshamim? So what the Mishnah here is making reference to is that in the first of the, in one of the first of the three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei, we know that the first three brachas of Shemoneh Esrei are what's called Shavach, there where we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So within the second bracha, so the theme of the second bracha is Gvura, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's strength. So the strength is fully manifest with what's called Tchias HaMesim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to revive the dead. So that's Gvura. But as part of Gvura also is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it rain. And yes, there is definitely a connection between rain and Tchias HaMesim, right? Much like the rain comes down on the ground and waters the seeds and causes the plants to grow. So the imagery over there is very powerfully connected to Tchias HaMesim. So so that second bracha is going to be a function of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Gvura within it. So at certain times of the year, we make a special. Now I was about to use the word petition, but as you're going to see, we're going to dance a little bit around that word. So is it a petition? Well, yes and no. Meaning we are davening. On the other hand, it's not the central brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. The central brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. So those are the bakashos. Those are where we actually petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's happening in the first three brachas? So classically, we refer to it as shevach. We're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so now with that stated, so Emesai Maskirin Gevurot Geshamim. So when do we start now mentioning the rain during Gevurot Geshamim? Meaning in the second Brachos Shemoneh Esrei, not Tagibor. And obviously what the Gemara here is making reference to is the insertion of Mashiv HaRuchim Merida Geshem. So Rabbi Eliezer, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag. So Rabbi Eliezer says that the most appropriate time to start is the beginning of Sukkos. Rabbi Yoshua, Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag. And Rabbi Yoshua says, no, the last day of Sukkos. So Amar Rabbi Yoshua, Hol Veinig Shamim Elasim and Klala B'Chag Lama Hu Maskir. So, and Rabbi Yoshua now starts off the debate. And Rabbi Yoshua says, I'm not following. Do we want rain on Sukkos? The answer, of course, is no. In fact, the Gemara in Sukkah tells us that if it rains on Sukkos, that is a siman klala. It is a Kadosh Baruch Hu showing displeasure. Rashi over here reminds us of the Gemara in Sukkah, where basically the Gemara, the Mishnayos over there say, you know what the comparison is? If in fact it rains on Sukkos, it's like the master taking the jug of water and throwing it right into the face of the shamash saying, I don't want your service. Yeah, you remember the Gemara over there well. You remember the Gemara had a little bit of ambiguity. Who was pouring onto whose face? But anyway, it's a sign of displeasure. Kadosh Baruch Hu is basically saying, look, right, the mitzvah of Sukkah on Sukkos, and I'm going to make it rain, and I don't want you in the Sukkah. I don't want your service. So we don't want rain on Sukkos. So that would be a little bit strange that we're going to be start asking for rain on Sukkos when we don't want rain on Sukkos. So therefore, Rabbi Yoshua says, not appropriate. So what we're going to do is that we're going to take the petitioning of rain, and we're going to move it to the end of Sukkos, so it doesn't rain on Sukkos. So Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Afanilo, Amati Lashol, El Lahazkir, Mashiv Ruchim Merda Gashem. So Rabbi Eliezer says, well, I'll clarify my position, meaning I think we should start at the beginning of Sukkos, and I'm not saying that we should petition for rain. We're not talking about a She'ela. What we're talking about over here is Hazkara. We're talking about just simply referencing it in the second Bracha Shemoneh Esrei. Again, the second Bracha Shemoneh Esrei is not Bakasha. It is Shevach. We're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So over here, I just simply am saying that it's the appropriate time to add the Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because it's the beginning of the rain season. We're not asking for rain. We're just simply saying that now it's an appropriate time for it to start raining. But technically speaking, of course, we don't want the rain until after Sukkos. So the And it's just simply the appropriate time. But it's not a formal request and petition. And so Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Eliezer, oh, really? So you really think that this is not a petition and it's not a request? It's just simply it's the right time. You're adding it in the second Bracha Shemoneh Esrei, it's Shevach. So then let me counter. Let me just simply say, if in fact you're right, so then just say it the whole year round. Meaning we don't say it the whole year round, and you admit that we don't say it the whole year round. So you admit that we are timing it in the timely portion of the year, otherwise known as the rain season. Oh, so for you, it's not exactly as you're describing it. You're describing it as something which is just simply a haskara. It's a mention. But at the same time, however, you're also admitting that you're only doing it certain times of the year. Okay, so the back and forth between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer as to when is the appropriate time to start mentioning that it rained. We continue in the Mishnah. Ain't you alas gashamim elo samach l'gashamim. So the request for rain is only coming samach l'gashamim, only as it gets proximate to the rain. We will explain that a little bit later on in the Gemara, not today's daf. So, but hold that line of the Mishnah, and the explanation is forthcoming. Rabbi Yehuda Omer however lifnei ativa biyom tov achron shel chag ha'achron maskir harishon ena maskir. Okay, so now Rabbi Yehuda says, let's be a little bit more specific. So now we're at the last day of Yontif, what we would call Shmini Atzeres. Now, I know for us, it gets a little bit confusing because it's the last day of Yontif is Shmini Atzeres, but we're still sitting in the Sukkah. But for our purposes right now, we can keep everything simple because we're going to assume right now we'll position ourselves in Eretz Yisrael. There's no Sveika de Yuma. The eighth day is the eighth day. It's not Sukkot. Everybody now has left the Sukkah. And so now, so when do we begin? Meaning, at this point in time in the mission, we're assuming that we're going to be going like Rabbi Yeshua, not like the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, and that the appropriate time to petition for rain is going to be immediately after Sukkos, again, Shmini Atzeres. So when in Shmini Atzeres? So what are your options? So your options are actually a lot of options. You could start at Maariv, you could start Shacharis the next morning. You could start at Musaf. So over here, a discussion in terms of when to begin. So Angel, I meant to skip over that line. Next, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Haover Lifnei Ativa Biyom Tov Achron Shel Chag Achron Maskir. I'm sorry, Ha Achron Maskir Harishon Ena Maskir. So the Achron over here means the Baal Musaf. Okay, we just had this in Rosh Hashanah, huh? So we just had this in Rosh Hashanah. In Rosh Hashanah, it was a little bit different than Rosh Hashanah. So the one davening Shacharis was the Rishon. The one davening Musaf was called the Sheni. Okay, over here it's called the Achron. Okay, I don't know why the subtle difference. But anyway, but we're talking now about the Baal Musaf. So the Baal Musaf is going to be the one who's going to be mentioning for this first time Masha Verucham Rodeh Gashem, with a discussion to be had. In other words, is that during Chazar Sashatz? Is that even going to be for the Silent Shemon Esrei as well? We just got finished with the Masechta Rosh Hashanah, and we just had a really short but important discussion regarding what the nature of the Silent Shemon Esrei is and what its purpose is, especially when you know you're going to have a Chazar Sashatz. But anyway, I'll leave all that alone. In the meantime, just to focus on the sheet of Rav Yehuda, that the Baal Musaf should be saying the Baal Musaf should be saying Masha Verucham Rodeh Gashem, not the Baal Shacharis and Shemini Atzeres. Why should that be? So let's hold that thought. I'll get back to it. If not today, then definitely tomorrow. But Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach, Rishon Masker, Achron Ein Masker. Now, when you move over to Pesach, so now we haven't even discussed it, and the Gemara assumes that we know this. But when's the conclusion? When do we conclude saying Masha Verucham Rodeh Gashem? So it's going to be Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach. Okay, first day Pesach. Meaning now basically we've gone through the entire winter season. Winter season has come to an end. Pesach signifies the beginning of the spring. Obviously, we just finished Rosh Hashanah, so we know that Pesach fluctuates in terms of when exactly it's going to fall out. In the early spring, right, not late winter, otherwise we're going to be adding another month, but in the early spring, mid-spring, in other words, it does fluctuate a little bit, but certainly as far as the Yontif of Pesach is concerned, it really does represent the beginning of spring. And so therefore, that's when we conclude saying Masha Verucham Rodeh Gashem, and that's going to be on the first day of Pesach. HaRishon Maskir, HaAchron Eino Maskir. So the Baal Shacharis is going to say Masha Verucham Rodeh Gashem. The Baal Musaf is not going to say it. Okay, so over here, once again, so the exact point of transitioning from when we say to not saying it is also going to be between Shacharis and Musaf. So then a Musaf, we won't say it. Good. Ad kan divrei Mishnah. So in the Mishnah, a machlokus between Tanaim, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. When is the correct or the proper beginning point of Masha Verucham Rodeh Gashem? Whether it's going to be the beginning of Sukkos or the end of Sukkos. And then, even within the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua, which is obviously the position we take, we follow. So then a sub-question in terms of, well, not a question, but just a fine-tuning of when exactly are we going to be transitioning from not saying to saying it. And it's going to be between Shacharis and Musaf. The Baal Shacharis is not going to be saying it. The Baal Musaf is going to be saying it. Okay. Tana. Heicha kai diktanim emesai. So basically now the Gemara is going to be asking placement of our Masechta. In the beginning of Masechtas, not all of them, I'd say not even most of them, but in the beginning of Masechtas, so we're looking for placement, right? Some explanation of why it's here. So already, as I alluded to already in the introduction, so it's a really fair question to ask over here with our Masechta. Why is it here? Why is it doing in Seder Moed? It's not connected to a Yontif. Yes, it's true that we just learned together that the beginning and the end of the Masha Verucham Rodeh Gashem is in fact connected with Yontif, but the fundamental issue of our Masechta does not seem to be Moed related. In that rain, not rain, that's not a Yontif. That's just simply a seasonal issue. So what is it doing over here in the Seder of Moed? So Tana Hechakai Diktani Me'emasai. So Tana Hasam Kai Diktani. So the Gemara right now thinks that, you know what our Mishnah is? So it's springboarding off of a comment made back in Brachos. The Mishnah in Brachos Diktani Maskirin Gvurus Keshamim B'tchias Ameis V'sholam B'birchos Hashanim V'Avdal B'chonin Adah. So the Mishnah in Brachos goes through the additional insertions that come on a regular basis. So in the winter time, so we're going to be augmenting the ninth brach of Shemoneh Esrei, that's Birchas Hashanim. On Motzei Shabbos, we're going to be adding Atochan Antanu, et cetera, et cetera. So the Mishnah is going over various additions that are done to Shemoneh Esrei, which of course makes sense, because in Masechta Brachos, that's what we're talking about, Shemoneh Esrei, and the whole formulation of Shemoneh Esrei. Although, somewhat oddly, when we get to Megillah, so the Gemara is going to give us the step-by-step, how did Anshe Knesset Gedolah put together Shemoneh Esrei? Right, which it's funny. It's a funny place to put it in Megillah. But anyway, when we get to Megillah, that's where we're going to be discussing it. Meanwhile, so over here, our Mishnah now is following off of that Mishnah in Brachos. So and now our Mishnah is following that Mishnah. Now, the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. It's really even difficult to understand what the Havamina was. Our Mishnah is really bouncing off of a Mishnah and Brachos? Meaning, you remember where the Mishnah and Brachos was? That's in Seder Zrayim. Do you know where we are right now? We're in Seder Moed. And the Gemara asks exactly that question. V'lisnehasam, ma'ishan deshavke ad hacha. So, okay. So that's a significant delay, right? If in fact we are following off the heels of that Mishnah and Brachos, so then Rashi says, I don't know, put it back in Seder Zrayim, right? Not here, not in Seder Moed. So Ella Tanim Rosh Hashanah Salik. So the Gemara says, okay. So our Mishnah over here is not falling off the heels of that Mishnah and Brachos, but rather it's falling off the heels of a Mishnah and Rosh Hashanah. Ah, and it happens to be that as far as Daf Yomi is concerned, we just finished Masechta Rosh Hashanah. I don't think, and I reserve the right to be wrong as I always do, but I don't think that there was a particular Masorah in terms of which Masechtas and Seder Moed followed what. Obviously, as they published the Masechtas, so there is a Seder, and even in the Mishnayos there is a Seder. But my point over here is a little bit on the subtle side, and I'm not going to belabor the point, but the. But it happens to be that we just finished Masechta Rosh Hashanah. I don't know if right now that's the Gemara's specific point. It just happens to me that it's in the same Seder. And when you read the Rashi, I'm encouraging you to do so, so you certainly get that sense. That it's just really more focused on the fact that it's in the same Seder. Anyway, so Alatanim Rosh Hashanah Salik, Ditnam, we learned in the Mishnah, Uvechag, Nidonim Malamayim, that on Sukkah, so what do we judge? We're judged on water. So remember, there are four judgments over the year, right? That was the first Mishnah from the Masechta. The first Mishnah Rosh Hashanah is that there are four Rosh Hashanahs of the year. And then the next Mishnah is that there are four judgments of the year. So one judgment on man, that's obviously done on what we call Rosh Hashanah. And then three resources get judged during the three Yamim Tovim, right? The water on Sukkot, grain on Pesach, and fruit on Shavuos. Okay. So, and exactly how does that work? How does that interplay? The resources getting judged and the people getting judged, and there was a run back in Rosh Hashanah that we did way back when. Meanwhile, so the point over here is that because the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah is talking about how on Sukkot we're judged on water, so now Masechta Tanis, now our Mishnah. So I did the Tana v'chag nidon malamayin Tana me'em asay maskirin kavuz kashamim. Okay, good. So that's now how we are going to be transitioning from the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Albeit, by the way, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah is in the first parak. It's not at the end of the Masechta. But still, the point is that it is germane to our Seder. Our Seder brought up the fact that when Rosh Hashanah we're being judged on water. Ah, okay, good. So let's also include here in Seder Moed a Masechta dedicated to water, the need for water and the petitioning of water. But listening, Mamasai Maskirin al Gashamim, my Gavur is Gashamim. Okay, so really our Masechta is all about rain. Good. That's wonderful. So over here, in terms of how our Mishnah opened up, our Masechta opened up, it says, Me'emesai Maskirin, Gevuras Geshamim. If the focus all is here is all about rain, so just simply say the word Geshamim. What is Gevuras Geshamim? I'm Rav Yochanan, Meshiyardim Begvura. So he says, so it's an apt description of how the rain comes down. The rain comes down, Begvura. Shenemar, and now how do we know this? Because we're going to string together a number of Pesukim. So first, a couple of Pesukim in Eov. Okay, took us a little bit of time to untangle this. The first reference in Eov, even though if you look on the side, it says in the ninth parak of Eov, so probably more aptly, it should be the fifth parak of Eov, meaning that we're going to be quoting two psukim that are side by side in the fifth parak of Eov. In fact, this comment over here that I just made is really all encrypted in the Bach. It's not encrypted. The Bach writes it out. Anyway, so the Ose Gedolos, now if you look at the Bach over here, Ose Gedolos V'ein Cheker, Niflaos, etc., etc. Okay, so the just a small correction that needs to be made. Right, the first reference is in the fifth parak of Eov. Anyway, what you have to focus on is the fact that it says the words that Akash Baruch Hu does great things. V'ein cheker, and it's well beyond our investigative abilities. V'niflaos anim isbar v'ksiv hanosei matar pnei haaretz v'shalech mayim pnei chutzos. Okay. And as part of that gvura and that ein cheker, so it's that Kosh Baruch Hu causes rain. That's the gvura of a Kosh Baruch Hu. My mashma amar Rabba Bar Shila asya cheker cheker mibiyasa sha'olam. So the Gemara says, well, if you notice carefully, it doesn't actually say the word gvura. It just simply says ein cheker. But we want to really connect it to gvura. So how do we do that? So k'siv hacha osa gedol san in cheker, u'k'siv hasam halo yadatim lo shamat alokei olam Hashem, b'rei k'tzos ha'aretz lo yaf lo yiga, ein cheker l'sfunaso. So the Gemara says, good. So now we've established that this takes us back to Briyas Ha'olam. And u'k'siv u'mechin harim b'kocho ne'ezar b'gvura. And so, going one more pasuk in. So finally we connect it all to Gvura. Okay, so it's a number of jumps from one pasuk to another. But ultimately what we do is that by stringing these pasukim together, we're connecting the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides the Geshem, b'Gvura. U'menalan de'betfila. Now, as far as adding it, so how do I know that I need to be adding it within tefila? Meaning, how do I know that the appropriate insertion of the petitioning for rain should be done in tefila? The answer seems to be kind of self-evident, meaning where else are we going to be inserting it? But the Gemara has a source. The Tanya will enter the Brisa, La'avas Hashem Elokechem, U'la'avdo b'chol levavchem. We have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our heart. Ezu avodah shi b'lev. So the Gemara asks over here, what kind of avodah is done in the heart? So Havi Amar is it tefila. So it's a reference to tefila. U'ksiv basrei v'nasati matar tzachem b'ito yorel malkosh. So within that second paragraph of Shema, where we have established that that is a chovas ha-tefillah, an obligation to David, it also makes reference to rain. So that means to say that the correct place to petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu for rain is going to be within the actual tefillah itself. Okay, Akan. So far in the Gemara, mid-daf review, so what we've covered so far is, number one, the placement of our Masechta, what is it doing here in Seder Moed? And the answer is it's coming off the heels of Rosh Hashanah. In Rosh Hashanah, we've established that we're judged for water on Sukkos. And so as a result of that, so we're going to be talking about water and rain. That's number one. Number two, the third word of the Mishnah, Me'im Asai Maskirin Gevuros Geshamim. So just mention Geshem, meaning the whole point over here is rain. So why Gevuros Geshamim? Because rain is part, it's a function, it's a manifestation of the Gevura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that it rains. I'm Rav Yochanan. So we are on the bottom of the Amud. We are four lines from the bottom. I'm Rav Yochanan. Gimma maftechos biyadu shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalo nimtzo biyad shliach ve'elohein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has keys. Keys that he's not ready to part with. Keys that he does not lend out to others. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls three aspects, but only exclusively within his domain. And he does not deputize and he does not subcontract. And that is maftech shal gesham and maftech shal chaya and maftech shal tchiyas ameisim. Okay, the Bach over here changes the order in terms of how it should be presented, but it comes out to be the same three. So the keys of Geshem, so that's within the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as is giving birth, and as is Tchiyas HaMeisim. So Mafter Shel Geshem and Dichsev and the Gemara has Psukim that are going to support it, that this is exclusively within the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it comes to Geshem. The Pasuk says, Yiftach Hashem Lecha Es Otzero HaTov. Okay, so the Yiftach Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be opening it up. Okay, so perfect timing, almost perfect. Okay, but in other words, good. That was yesterday. We just read about Rachel petitioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. So, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu answering directly. So, Vayiftach Elokim. I'm sorry. Vayishma Eleha Elokim Vayiftach Es Rachma. Okay, good. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Baal HaMavteach. And finally, Mavteach Shel Tchias HaMeisim Minayin Dechziv Vidatim Ki Anei Hashem B'Pischei B'Pischis Kivrsechem. Okay, and Tchias HaMeisim also is going to be coming directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so what comes out from our Gemara over here is that there is no subcontracting of these keys. You can see Tosos over here on the Amud Aleph. Second to last Tosos, and he's bothered by what seems to be a pretty obvious question. We do see some subcontracting on these issues. So Shosha Maftecha Shalom Nimtzu L'Shliach V'im Tomar V'Harminan De Maftecha Geshem Nimtzu L'Eliyahu. So Eliyahu was given the Maftecha of Geshem and V'chei Maftecha Shal Tchias HaMeisim, and Eliyahu also resuscitated the dead, revived the dead. V'chein L'Elisha D'Chsi V'Yomar Eliyahu Chai Hashem V'Chulei, and also by Elisha. So we see him engaging in a little bit of Tchias HaMeisim. And so Tosus is bothered by an obvious question, which is, what is the Gemara talking about? HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not lend these keys out. Occasionally he does. Hachinami, I'm Rabbi Pickin de la Kaman. V'yei Shlomar. So Tosus says, okay, so we're going to have to reinterpret our Gemara. So what it means, what the Gemara must mean, is that it's not that the Kadosh Baruch Hu never lends these keys out. Again, because we saw that he did. So, in other words, but there is no appointment. No malach is going to ever be appointed to be entrusted with these maftechos. These maftechos are for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On occasion, says Tosfos, what he will do is that he'll temporarily lend it out, but in terms of any one minister who's going to be given these keys, that's not happening. That's Tosfos' understanding of the Gemara over here. And again, you have to say something along those lines. It's interesting. You could have, and Tosfos is not doing this, so I'm going to be cautionary in terms of suggesting it, but you could have made a distinction between the Malachim versus the Nevi'im, meaning in terms of Malachim, it's not sublet, but every now and then, a Navi, on rare occasion, is going to be receiving that ability. You could make such a distinction. Tosfos doesn't. Okay. It's because I don't know how this all operates in terms of Malachim versus Nevi'im, and et cetera, et cetera. Okay, good. Anyway, we continue. So, the Ben Ma'arava. So we're on the Amud Beis of today's daf, and now in Eretz Yisrael, Ben Ma'arava Amri Af Matech Shom Parnasa. Okay, there's one more Maftech that's within the direct control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he does not subcontract it and does not lend it out to anybody else, and that's Parnasa. Dichsiv, Posechus Yadecha. Okay. V'Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'itam Eloka Chashiv Laha. Now, Rabbi Yochanan, you know, he's right, Rabbi Yochanan, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of Parnasa, so Rabbi Yochanan's response is very simple. Don't think I didn't think about that. So Am Lecha Geshamim Haino Parnasa. Yeah, what do you think Geshem is? Geshem is Parnasa. So I'm fully aware of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for Parnasa, included already within the category of Geshem. Okay, Adkan. We are continuing. We are on Beis Amud Beis, about six lines from the top of the Amud at the two dots. Rabbi Elazar Omer Miyam Tov Rishon Shel Chag. Okay, so now we go back to our Mishnah and the back and forth between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, in terms of when's the appropriate time to start being maskir, mentioning Mashiv Ruchim Regashem. So, Ibailu Rabbi Elazar Meich Gamer Lam. So, Rabbi Elazar Shita. Okay, so again, so it's not the Shita that we accept. We don't pass like Rabbi Elazar, but still, it's a Chelek of Torah. It is a Shita. And so, therefore, for the few minutes that we're now going to be investigating his Shita, so that's it's a Kiyum in Talmud Torah. So, question, Meich Gamer Lam. So where exactly is he learning this from? Mi lulav gamarla. So is he learning it from lulav or minisach hamayim gamarla? So or is he learning it from nisach hamayim? Look, this idea that we're petitioning on day one of Sukkot, according to Rabbi Eliezer, so that is that a function of lulav or is it a function of nisach hamayim? Now, based on what the Gemara said in the Amud Aleph, it seems to be a slam dunk, no brainer, in terms of where we should be learning it from. Like you would think that it comes from nisach hamayim. Meaning, we just said that our Masechta is coming off of the heels of the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that says that Bechag Nidonim Al Hamayim. And we also know that as a result of we being judged for water on Sukkot, so what do? So we have a special Nisuch on Sukkot. So it's called Nisuch HaMayim. What in the world does Lulav have to do with Mayim? So, but Rashi over here is sensitive to that, and Rashi writes. And he says, look, when it comes to Lulav, so first of all, right, Rashi doesn't use the word Nanuin, but I assume Rashi is making reference to the Nanuin. So we weigh the lulav on Sukkot. And why do we weigh the lulav on Sukkot? So the Gemara in Sukkot gave us a couple of explanations, but one of them is because of the ruchos, because of the winds, basically because of the weather. In other words, that lulav is going to be influencing the weather pattern for the upcoming year. Okay, so number one, that is the connection between lulav and water. And then number two, and Rashi says this, and it's really straightforward, and that is, how do you think your lulav is growing? The only way your lulav is growing is via water. Okay, so what we're entertaining now is that either the Hazkara of Mashiv Merucham Renegashim, according to Rabbi Elazar, which starts on day one, is really going to be a function of Nisuch HaMayim, or it's going to be a function of lulav. And then hopefully you're wondering, what's the difference? Meaning they both start on day one. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the difference is. So mi lulav gamarla o minisuch hamayim gamarla mi lulav gamarla ma lulav b'yom avaskar b'yom. It's because it's going to inform us when should we actually start saying mashiv ruchim regashim. So if it's a function of lulav, so when does the mitzvah of lulav begin? Not the night, not the first night, but rather first day. So that means then that according to Rabbi Elazar, we should be starting to say Mashav HaRuchim Rodei Gashem only on the first day of Sukkot, and not the night prior. Now, alternatively, if it's a function of Nisuch HaMayim, so when does Nisuch HaMayim begin? Okay, so this part is a little bit tricky, because what the Gemara now is going to argue is that Nisuch HaMayim begins at night. What? Really? Isn't the Nisuch itself actually done during the day? So to that, the answer, of course, is yes. However, as we're about to see, part of the Nisuch process begins at night. So afilu balayla. Now, from the Gemara itself, it's not perfectly clear what exactly is done at night. Look at Rashi. Rashi writes, "Manisuch hamayim miyorta." This Rashi I'm reading. Kidashke chamem masechet sukkah shemem alin aklim mayim linisuch hamayim balayla. Okay, so Rashi says that what part of nisuch hamayim is done at night? That's the milui. That's the drawing up of the water. That is done at night, the night prior. And so therefore, if the Geshem for Rabbi Elazar and the Mashav HaRuchim Rodei Gashem is going to be a function of Nisuch HaMayim, and since we're drawing the water at night, so the appropriate time to start is going to be at night. Good. That is the, that would be if it's a function of Nisuch HaMayim. Now, Rashi notes that, in the second pshat that I'm just not going to read right now, is that some people have a girsa. It happens to be that we have the girsa that would seem to indicate or seem to suggest that the Nesachim can be done at night. Okay, see Rashi for a possible other way to explain it, but the simplest pshat, which is Rashi's first pshat, is that the Milui HaMayim is done at night. Okay, so Afas Karma or Tashma. Okay, so the Gemara now opens up the question, according to Rabbi Elazar, who says, Mashav HaRuchim Rodei Gashem on day number one, is it going to be already by Mariv, or is it going to only be in Shacharis the next morning? So, Da'am Rabbi Abba, lo limda Rabbi Elazar, elami lulav. Okay, so, Rabbi Elazar learned it from Lulav, meaning it's a function of Lulav, which presumably means that it only starts on the day. Ike da'amri Rabbi Abahu, Gemara Gamayurla. Now, when Rabbi Abahu made the statement, so some say that it's a tradition, just simply a tradition, the Ike da'amri Masisa Shmiele, or maybe he had an actual Braisa supporting this viewpoint. So, Ma'i de Tanya, so the Gemara says, okay, which Braisa? Gemara says, I'll introduce you. So at what point in time do we do the Haskara on Geshem? So Rabbi Eliezer remembers Shasni Tilas Lulav. So Rabbi Elazar says, from the time of Lulav. Oh, okay, good. It's a Braisa. And Rabbi Yoshua Omer Mishas Anachto. And from the time that you put your Lulav away, meaning the end of Sukkot. I'm Rabbi Eliezer Hova Arba Minim Halalu Einem Baim Elalu Ratzo Salamayim. Ukishem Shabra Minim Halalu Efshar Behem. Below Mayim, Kach Yefshel LaOlam below Mayim. So, and Rabbi Eliezer says, look, you see this lulav over here? How do you think we got this lulav? Water. And just like the lulav is impossible without water, so too, we need water. And so therefore, lulav begins on day one of Sukkot. Therefore, we should be already mentioning Mashav HaRuchim Rodei Gashem in the beginning of Sukkot. Amar LeRabbi Yeshua, V'lo Gashamim, V'chag Einu Ela Siman Klala. So this retort of Rabbi Yeshua, now second time today we're hearing it. And that is, we don't want it to rain on Sukkot, it's a siman klala. So, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, afani lo amarti l'shol ela haskir. And again, the retort of Rabbi Eliezer, I'm not talking about petitioning for rain, I'm talking about being maskir. And that's different. Okay. So, ukeshem shetchias amesim maskir kol hashana kula, ve'ena ela bizmana, kach maskir and gevurus kishamim kol hashana, ve'ena ela bizmanan. And look, when it comes to tchias amesim, so we mentioned tchias amesim year-round. Meaning, in that second bracha of Shmona Esrei, so we, as part of our Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we mentioned Tchias HaMeisim. And meanwhile, it has an onan, it has a proper time. Okay.
How come you don't apply the argument of Klala by Nisuch
HaMayim? In other words, just like by Lulav, it's a mitzvah. So whatever arguments you want to provide, it's a mitzvah to do it. Nisuch HaMayim is also a mitzvah. I totally understand your point, but it's a mitzvah. Meaning the argument could be argued when you have something which is a din d'rabbanan. Davening is a din d'rabbanan. The nusach of davening certainly is a din d'rabbanan. When do we start petitioning? So okay, good. So there could be fluctuation over there. But if something is a bona fide mitzvah, like lulav and like nisuch HaMayim, so then no argument can postpone the mitzvah. Okay. So the Gemara says over here, so just like Tchias HaMeisim, so there is an ona, there's a specific time to Tchias HaMeisim, and meanwhile we mention it year-round. Meaning the mentioning does not have to correlate with the ona, with the time that it occurs. Okay, I'll ask the question, but I certainly am not in a position to answer. What is the owner for Tchias HaMesim? So when is going to be the appropriate time for Tchias HaMesim? I don't know. But from the Gemara, you certainly get the impression that there's something seasonal about Tchias HaMesim. Lefichach, continuing in the Gemara. Imba lahaskir kol hashana kula maskir. So, and if you're going to mention it, so mention it year-round. Meaning, by Tchias HaMesim, we mention it year-round. Okay, so over here also. If this is just a haskara, and it doesn't correlate with the actual time in which it occurs, so then mention it year-round. Rebbe Omer Ani Mishasha Mafsik L'Sheilakach Mafsik L'Haskara. So at the time when you stop She'ila, when you stop the actual petitioning, so it's at that point in time that you're going to stop for the Haskara as well. Rebbe Yehuda Ben Bezerra Omer B'Sheni B'Chagu Masker. Rebbe Yehuda Ben Bezerra says, do you know when you should start? You should start the second day of Sukkos with Masha V'Rechamer D'Gashem. Right, an opinion we didn't see back in the Mishnah. The Mishnah, we only had two opinions. Okay, this price has more opinions. Rabbi Akiva Omer B'Shishi B'Chagu Masker. Rabbi Akiva says, you know when you should start Masha V'Rechamer D'Gashem? Starting day number 6. And Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Yeshua Omer Over Lefnei Ateva B'Yom Tov Achron Shochag Achron Masker Rishon Eina Masker B'Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach Rishon Masker Achron Eina Masker. And then the Gemara quotes B'Shem Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yehuda is saying this B'Shem Rabbi Yeshua, and that is what we've already seen this morning. But we get to see it again, and that is that when the Baal Musaf gets up there on Shmini Atzeres, he should be Maskir, but the Baal Shachar should not be Maskir. And now move over later to the second half of the year, at the beginning of Pesach, the Baal Shachar should say it, the Baal Musaf should not say it. Okay, good. Shapi Kamalei Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Yeshua. So now the Gemara says Rebbe Lazar seems to be making a fantastic point to Rebbe Yeshua, right? This idea that the Shevach is not necessarily correlate with the Ona, with the time. So the Gemara says, Am lecha Rebbe Yeshua Bisham, Tchias HaMesim Asker, Dekula Yoma, Zmanehu, El Gisham, and Kol Emes, Asya, Zmanehu. So the Gemara says, now, as far as Rabbi Yeshua's rebuttal to Rabbi Eliezer, look, Tchias HaMesim, I disagree. You think it's something which is seasonal. There's nothing seasonal about Tchias HaMesim, meaning every day is a possible day for Tchias HaMesim. And so therefore it's appropriate to make mention of it at any and every day of the year. Masha'in came when it comes to rain is seasonal. And did not. In fact, we're going to learn later in a Masechta. Yatsa Nisim Yaduk Shamim Siman Kolahim. If Nisan goes and it's still raining, that's no good. Meaning rain is seasonal. So therefore, your argument of we don't necessarily correlate the Zman and the Haskara, we do. Okay. So Shenemar, the Pasuk says, Hello, Kitzir, Chitim Ayom. Okay, good. So we see that there is a connection between when it's supposed to rain and the time of year. So you can't compare rain and Tchias HaMesim. Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bezerra, Omer B'Shein B'Chag HaMasker, my time at the Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bezerra. Okay, she just Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bezerra, is that the appropriate time to say Masha V'Rechamer D'Gashem is going to be day number 2 of Sukkos. The Gemara asks the obvious question. What's so special about day number 2? Day number 1 is the beginning of the rain season. Got it. Day number 8, Shmini Atzeres, is because we don't want it to rain on Sukkos. Got it. Okay, good. So we have now over the successfully explained the first day and the 8th day. Day number 2, what's unique about day number 2? So the Gemara says, "D'tanya v'lantan b'risa Rav Yehuda ben Bezerra Omer, Nam Rav Shenim v'niskehem, v'nam Rav Shisha v'nisachecha, v'nam Rav Shvi k'mishpatam, harei mem yud mem, harei kan mayim." Okay, so where am I learning about nisach hamayim in the Torah? So we already did this back in Sukkah, and let's do it again over here. But over here, however, we're going to take a different path. Right back in Sukkah, so what did we say? We said halach l'moshe mitzinai. Okay, there was another possible source as well over there in the Gemara in Sukkah, but the Gemara in Sukkah is focusing on the fact that it's halach l'moshe mitzinai. Our Gemara also agrees it's halach l'moshe mitzinai, but at least there's an encryption in the Torah itself. It's encrypted this idea of mayim. So if you look carefully at the karbanos that are mentioned in Parshas Pinchas, so what you're going to find over there is that there's an extra mem mentioned on day number 2, an extra yud mentioned on day number 6, an extra mem mentioned on day number 7. So you take those extra letters together, what do you get? Mayim. So that's the decoder ring that the Gemara now is using in order to extract the idea of Nisach HaMayim. So Remez, so Mikan Remez, Nisach HaMayim in the Torah. Umayishna b'sheni denaka. So the dechi remiza a little bit krab b'shenu de remiza. And the Gemara says, and look, and when does the encryption begin? It begins on day number two, meaning that extra mem, that first extra mem is found on day number two. And so since on the second day of Sukkot, we have our first remez in the Torah to Nisach HaMayim. So that's the appropriate time to mention it. Hilkach b'sheni matkarinan, and that's why we mentioned day number two. Which, by the way, in other words, this fits into what we discussed and argued earlier this morning. Meaning earlier this morning, we wanted to know, the Haskara, is it a connection to Lulav or is it a connection to Nisach HaMayim? Obviously, over here, the Gemara, in arguing for position for this position that you should start on day number two, is obviously connecting it to Nisach HaMayim. And finally, right, where was it? It was right here. Is there a Tanakh on that table? Right then, or someone put it back? Oh, amazing. Okay. Anyway, I'll just end off today. I got it. I'm good. End off today with a Vilna Gaon. Okay, I've said this Vilna Gaon before. It's short, but amazing. The Vilna Gaon points out that if you went through our Gemara over here, so the days in which you should be the days that of Sukkot in which have the additional letters are the second, sixth, and seventh day, in which you have an extra mem yud mem. You look at Maisa Bereishis. So now the numbers that we're going to be focusing on are the numbers of 2, 6, and 7. So now we're looking at the second pasuk in the Torah. Ve'aretz ha'isasov avo v'choshech ha'pnei sahom v'ruach elokim rechefes ha'pnei ha'mayim. Then go to pasuk vav, and there's no reference of mayim in between. Then go to pasuk vav. Vayom elokim yihi rakib besoch ha'mayim v'yihi mavdo be'mayim ha'mayim. And then pasuk zayin. Okay, so the encryptions there that are found over here also are found in Maisa Bereishis in terms of Mayim. Let's quickly recap our daf today. In our opening Mishnah here, a debate amongst the Tanaim, when is the appropriate time to insert the additional Mashiv Aruchim Radagashim in the second bracha of Shmona Esrei? Our Masechta is focusing on rain, and on the rainy season, and on our responsibility to daven on behalf of the rain. So when's the appropriate time to begin? So the answer is machlokas atanayim. Either it's going to be on day one or day eight of Sukkot. Day one, because that's when the rain season begins. Day eight, because we don't want it to rain on Sukkot. So the back and forth between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua that we saw in the Mishnah, with the complementary arguments that go in either direction. On the Amud Aleph of today's daf, so number one, why are we learning Masechta Tanis here in Seder Moed? And the Gemara's answer is because it comes off of the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, Bechag Nidonim Al Hamayim, we're judged on Sukkot on water. Okay, so now that we know that Sukkot were judged on water, so this is almost like an addendum, an attachment to that Mishnah over there in Rosh Hashanah. And that's what it's doing over here in Seder Moed. The Ma'emus HaMaskirin Gevuros Geshamim. So in the first Amud of today's daf, a short discussion in terms of why Gevura. Why does it mention Gevura? And then the Maftechos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, three Maftechos that are in the exclusive domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he does not subcontract them out. The Maftechos of rain, of childbirth, and of Tchias HaMesim. On the Amud Beis, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. And the Gemara wants to know that within the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, is the Mashiv Ruchim Radagashim going to be a function of Lulav, or is it a function of Nisach HaMayim? Nafkamina would be, says the Gemara, when do I actually begin? Do we begin the night of the first night of Sukkot? That would be a connection to Nisach HaMayim, because Nisach HaMayim begins at night. The simplest pshat, which Rashi says, is that the Milui HaMayim is done at night. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is, no, that it's connected to Lulav, and therefore, just like Lulav is only done during the daytime, so according to Rabbi Elazar, you begin during the day. Gemara quoted a Braisa. The Braisa said very clearly that's connected to Lulav, not to Nisach HaMayim, at least according to the Shita of Rabbi Elazar. Within the Braisa that was quoted in the Amud Beis, so the Gemara gave us a number of other opinions in addition to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua. And right now, we just investigated a little bit more the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, which is that you should be starting Mashiv Ruchim Radagashim on day number two, and that is a function of the decoding of the Torah in terms of where do we find Nisach HaMayim.